Hey up, my name's Ben, and you're listening to Stoke City Heroes by the YYY Files. This show answers the question whether a Potters fan really can dedicate a whole podcast to one of their favourite players. Joining me today to talk about his hero is the Bear Pit TV's Elliot Yates. How are you, matey?
Yeah, not too bad, thank you. How are you coping in these weird times?
I'm all right. I said in the last few podcasts, actually, that it's a weird time for everybody for many different reasons, but I'm lucky that I've got this and other things to sort of keep me going, really, keep me entertained. And hopefully stuff like this keeps at least some Stoke fans entertained anyway in the short term. So, yeah, it's weird, but we're here to talk about the positive stuff, obviously, today, for Stoke City Heroes. So, just a reminder for anybody out there that if we've not covered your Stoke City Hero yet, and you're racking your up to the challenge, come and prove it. Head to the website and click Stoke City Heroes. That's the YYYFiles.com, or on all social media at the YYYFiles, or email the YYYFiles@mail.com. You can find all those links in the podcast description. Elliot's going to talk about his Stoke City hero. So, who is that, mate?
His name is Bojan Krkić. I think you're aware of him.
I think many Stoke fans would be aware of him by this point. Yeah, Bojan. Like, so many different stupid pronunciations. We know there's a correct one.
Generally, did that on Match of the Day. It was always like, one week it was Bojan, next it was Bojan, next it was Bohan, or something.
Like, I wonder if we get that over there, like in Spain. I wonder if, like, Yates gets pronounced Yates or something. I don't know.
I think there's a, because I know in Spanish, like at school, I think you have to pronounce J's as like Hue, so it's like Boyan or something. So,
I think
that's how you pronounce it.
I think it was said on the stadium announcer the first time he played for Stoke. I think they said Boyan, I think. But I'm
Not 100% I remember I was at that game and they said Bojan.
So we'll try to go with Bojan, but if we defer, then please allow us. I'm from Stoke, so my accent's not great anyway. obviously, Bojan, a lot of people will have known of him before Stoke City.
Yes.
He had a massive reputation at Barcelona and some other big European clubs, so let's sort of briefly touch on that. A player we've heard of.
Yeah, finally. I think that was the sort of first player we've heard of since we signed players like Crouch, and we signed players who was worldwide. Then we signed sort of Charlie Adam, but he was sort of well known in England rather than well known in sort of the world. There were some other players like Mark Arnautovic, fairly well known to some people, but Bojan's like a world star at this point. Like, as in the next Messi, he was dubbed as a world class player in terms of what he was supposed to be, and he still had that capability to achieve that, and he's coming to Stoke, which says a lot about where we were going at that time.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, we mentioned on this podcast before, he was keeping Ibrahimovic and Hamri out at the Barcelona team, and then all of a sudden he drops on our doorstep.
Yeah.
It's amazing. I mean, in terms of how he arrived in the summer of 2014, I think that's right?
Yes.
And he came for what I believe to be a negligible fee. I think it was like €500,000 or something daft like that, I think Mark Hughes said.
Yeah.
Because it went out in the press saying like, oh, Stoke paid over $2 million for him, and then they laughed that off in the press conference the next day. I just thought, to get someone of that quality for so little, it just shows what kind of a club Barcelona were, I guess, to have let him go, because we all know the reason why he wanted to go, to play football, and they let him do that at Stoke.
Yeah, I mean, they tried to let him do that, I think, at other clubs, but it was all loan moves and it was all big European sides. And he said in an interview, he said, when you go to those clubs, you're not going as Bojan, you're going as the next Messi. And it's very difficult to live up to that, because like Messi scores 3 goals every game, whereas like most players can't even do that. So you're not going to be the next Messi. So I think every club thought, oh, he's failed at this club simply because he's not been Messi, which is stupid to think, because Messi's, I think personally, the greatest footballer that's ever graced this earth. With Bojan, coming to Stoke was good because it actually gave him some sort of game time that he needed properly. And I think I was at his debut against Villa, and me and my dad could see, not like, oh, don't know about him, but you could sort of see, yeah, he's had a big wake-up call to English football here. Because I think in pre-season, he was amazing for us. Like, he scored his first game in pre-season, then he just scored every game after that. We thought, whoa, like, what a player here. But if we look at all those teams, it's like Schalke, Real Betis, it's all the foreign sides that he's like used to playing. But then you come up against English side like Aston Villa, they're going to kick lumps out of him because he's quite fragile in build and he's quite small as well. So I think once he had that wake-up call afterwards, then he started performing for us. I think that was key for him.
Oh, yeah. Well, it must have been very difficult for him to have been sort of chucked around the leagues in the first place. Him, as a youngster, playing at Barcelona against the Spanish teams, where we know it's more tactical and patient there than moving around to other leagues. He'll have learned his trade, but we know there's nothing like playing in England. That's sort of how he arrived, really. And speaking of his arrival, then, people were obviously very excited about him when he joined, for fair reasons, as we've just mentioned. But first impressions of him when he came, not necessarily as he was playing for us, maybe before, so what were we expecting? We know he's a second striker, basically, that sort of centre attacker midfield role. In fact, he's been known to play up front for Barcelona as more of like a false nine role-ish. But he was more than that, I suppose, wasn't he? There's more to his game than that.
Yeah, definitely. I think when he first arrived, because I loved that Barcelona team that won the Champions League. I think they'll all know who it was. It was the one with like Messi. They beat Man United in the Champions League final. It's that team. I was obsessed with them, the way they played football. And he was part of that side. So already I was quite excited that somebody from that team was joining Stoke. And I knew a bit about him in that, but not to the extent, obviously, I know now. So I already knew a lot about him. From what I gathered, he was a quick attacking player, liked to sort of get crosses in, create chances, like a creative striker, almost in a way similar to Mark Hughes was at Barcelona, which, like, he was a creative striker, not just about scoring goals, like setting up other players to do that.
Yeah, well, he just loved bringing other people into the game, which is why some would call him a second striker, because he helped that focal person to get the chances that he needed, but then he'd make the chance himself, we know that. And not only the traits of him on the pitch, off the pitch as well. When he joined, my first impression of him anyway was in the, well, words that you used before, he was human.
Yeah, I think we'll get onto this in a minute, but like when I sort of like started getting my connections with Bojan, he sort of made me realise that like footballers are human as well. It's not like they're just, because I used to be like in awe of footballers and everything about them. So like when I met like Peter Crouch for the first time, I was like, oh my God, like he's really here. With Bojan, it's like I was sort of starstruck at first when I first met him. It was actually last season. So it wasn't as if I'd met him throughout his whole Stoke career, just waiting for like autographs and stuff.
There's a number of things that are one personal to you, but then ones that the whole public have been there to see. We'll get onto that as we go through more of his journey. So if we're trying to sum him up then, as if we're trying to paint a picture for anyone who for some reason might not have seen Bojan play for Stoke, we've got this sort of creative second striker role, love scoring goals, love creating goals, and had this warm personality that make everybody like him. And he was definitely a fan's favourite for both of those reasons on and off the pitch, I think.
Yeah, I think so. I think there's stuff that he'd do as well, like as in, I'd see stuff like when he was on the bench, he'd be like, most players go like straight to the bench, just walk straight to the bench, where he'd be like taking pictures with the fans on the front row, signing autographs and stuff. And I think that's because of the whole sort of Barcelona philosophy of, in La Masia, I think they get taught that a lot about like fans and everything, because he was a Barcelona fan himself. So I think he sort of knew that's like 1 second for them, like for him, but like to them, it's like means so much that they'll remember that for ages. So.
Yeah, exactly. So let's try and do a breakdown of Bojan's time at the club then.
Okay.
So obviously he joined in 2014 for the start of the 2014-15 season. You mentioned pre-season there and he just lit up pre-season. And then we got more into the league season. I remember him starting off relatively slowly. We could see the talent that he was, but even Mark Hughes admitted that he needed time to adapt to English football. We might have mentioned why, because playing for so many different foreign teams and not getting used to English football. I think this was the right season. I remember going to Hull away and he played that game. I think it was his first start. Maybe I'm wrong. And I remember him coming up against Tom Huddleston, who of course is...
Yeah, massive.
A colossus. And he just ate Bojan alive and he had no idea what was hitting him really, I think. You could see that he was trying to do the things that he'd learned in La Masia and with Barcelona and all the foreign clubs that he'd been on loan at, but he just couldn't quite have his influence on the game at that point, I don't think. What do you think?
Like I said, I think it's just adapting to English football. I remember, I think, after that whole match, I think it was, he was taken out the side and didn't play again until the like League Cup, a League Cup tie. And I think that was sort of getting in the gym, you know, stronger in his build, getting like used to English football in training, sort of like build him into another match. And then he played in the League Cup tie, I think, and he played really, really well. I think it was, I want to say it was against Southampton, I think we played in that and played really well. I think Stoke lost that, but like I said, played really well. Then we played West Ham in the league and like man of the match. And so I think you could see like, yeah, he's man of the match here. And then I think he scored his first goal the week after against Tottenham. So you could sort of see like the build that he's got. So he's like first up, so he's like played in the League Cup. Okay, done really well. Got his league start. He's man of the match. And then he's gone and scored his first goal. So I think it's sort of like building up to like getting used to English football.
Yeah, I think so. And you mentioned that Spurs goal, his first for Stoke.
What a goal.
What a goal. For me, that sort of summed him up, I think, before an unfortunate event that happened later on this season. But for me, this summed up how good he was. Like, he took the ball from the halfway line, and his confidence was just staggering. I don't know where it come from being this sort of timid player when he joined us, I think, where when he was getting eaten alive by Tom Hiddleston. He drove through this midfield, calmly slotted this ball past the goalkeeper. I'm guessing it was Lloris at that time, but I'm not 100%. Like it was a training match, like it was drilled, like he'd done it at Barcelona all his life.
You could see that, couldn't you, in the build-up? Like it was sort of like drilled in. Because I think it was like Sidwell, like Bojan to Sidwell to Nzonzi, and then Bojan just went on this mazy run.
Yeah, wonderful. And I just remember thinking, this is what we've signed. We've actually got this player that was keeping the likes of Ibrahimovic and Armoury out of the Barcelona team. We've got this player. We've not got someone who's, you know, was a good young talent, like a, I don't know, bad example, but like a Januzaj, who started off really well and then dropped off. No, we've got a really good footballer. And that's sort of carried on with goals against Arsenal.
I think this is my unpopular opinion, but like I've said this to a few people and they've just laughed it off, but I think in that stint where he's got like goals against Arsenal and got everything, I think that was the best spell of his career. Like, not even when he was playing at Barcelona, I think that was the best spell he ever had in his career.
It's fair reason to say so, because I think the goals he scored and the games that he played in just showed all the different talents that he has. We saw the solo goal of his Spurs. He did score one goal against Arsenal. He was unlucky not to have two, because it was
It should have been 4-0, yeah, shouldn't it?
Yeah, I remember being at that game again. It should have been 4-0 before half-time. And I just remember looking up to my dad with my mouth hanging open, because I was like, we're 4-0 up against Arsenal, seeing the offside flag go up. And I was just, oh, goodness me. But both of those goals, because let's be real, he wasn't offside and they were great goals, again, just showed off the class that he had. He won and scored a penalty against Everton, and that was the only goal of the game. The spin and low drive that won the game v Leicester.
Yeah,
and then there's the fifth and final goal of that season, of course.
That was one beautiful goal, wasn't it? And you wouldn't have thought he was right footed, taking it on with his left foot like that.
Yeah, just amazing. And like I say, just showed off all these talents to be winning penalties, to have the composure to tuck away a penalty, to have that spin and low drive to get your body around, knowing where the goal is, and then that Rochdale goal. So the ball comes in. Was there a shot that went in and the keeper saved it? Or no, someone headed it away. And it
was Butland took a free kick from like his own half, like pinged it into their own box. And like one of the Rochdale defenders has headed it like out, tried to head it as best he could, and has just seen Bojan just lining up this volley and absolutely whacks it into the back of the net.
It was a really weird one, because like you could see what he was doing. He was winding it up for a good couple of seconds, and yet nobody stopped him.
Yeah.
And the finish, nobody would have stopped that. I don't think any goalkeeper would have stopped that.
I think, it's only because I watched that Match of the Day, like, top 10 goals thing last night. And Alan Shearer was talking about his goal against Everton. I don't know if anyone's ever seen it. Basically, the ball drops out of the sky and Alan Shearer whacks it. It's not similar to that, but what he says is, like, you very rarely get that opportunity where a defender heads it away and you're left with, like, setting yourself up for a volley chance like that. So you have to get it right first time, and he did get it right, and he was unbelievable goal. Like I said, you wouldn't have thought that he was right footed hitting it on with his left.
Exactly, and that sort of thing only comes with practice. We talked about La Masia and how well that he was drilled, and everything he did became instinctive.
Record goal scorer at La Masia. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like 900 goals or something.
And you could see why he was being dubbed the next Messi, though, can't you? And I think even we were being tempted with a glimpse of, give this guy some game time, give him a season, and he's going to explode onto the scene.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, he didn't get given that chance, because just after he scored that volley in the Rochdale game, his perhaps vulnerable side came through, and he was very unlucky to have suffered a really bad knee injury that took him out for the rest of the season. And it was just such a shame, because it halted such progress for him, and we were seeing this wonderful player blossom for Stoke that was very un-Stoke. The years previous, we were a hard-fighting team who would grind out results under Tony Pulis, and even under Mark Hughes to some extent. And then Boyan, I think, started the revolution of, nah, we're going to win games through skill and flair and creativity and just general brilliance. And that got shut down prematurely, and it was such a shame.
Yeah, it was a shame. I think he did show glimpses of that, sort of him coming back. This is what I think personally. I think he would have come back from that injury, but it was the one thing that I think it was Hughes. I think he came back into the side. We had that sort of Stoke alone period, and I thought, yeah, he's back to his best here. Like, I can see the creativity back. And then all of a sudden, Hughes took him out the side. And I don't know what it was. I think he was maybe trying to build a team around Mbula or something, and he pushed Afolai further forward. But I just couldn't see why he'd do that.
It's something that we'll come on to, that Bojan, for some reason, just got left out by manager after manager, season after season after that. We mentioned the injury. He did recover from that at the start of the next season. So the next season, he made 31 appearances for Stoke. Thank God he had a proper full season at Stoke, pretty much.
Yeah.
And he scored 7 goals for us in the 2015-16 season. This was possibly Stoke's greatest season in the Premier League in terms of just how good we were. Not necessarily success. We were 9th in the Premier League, and I think that was
League Cup semi-final.
It was fantastic, right? But Stoke were playing. I mean, we call ourselves Stoke alone. We had that trident of Arnautovic, Shaqiri.
We had himself. The most amount of Champions League winners in the Premiership. Like.
We did. I remember that, because that was Arnautovic, Shaqiri, Boyan,
Munieza.
Afolai. I mean, we'd lost in Zonzi at that point, of course. But, I mean, we were good. And so was Boyan. A debate that I think a lot of fans have, and still nobody's really settled it, was Boyan pre- and post-injury. We know how good he was pre-injury, and I think he would have continued his rise had he not got injured. However, a lot of people say that after that injury, he got worse for some reason. Yeah. Like, he didn't have as much an effect on Stoke after that, and that's why managers dropped him. I don't necessarily agree with that to some extent. We could see that he was still effective. He was still scoring goals. He was still winning games. His first game back was that Leicester game. I think it was his first game back anyway. And
he
scored that goal. Yeah. Well, I mean, you know how good that goal was.
Yeah, I think you can see how much it means to him as well. I think with his celebration, he's just like, yes, I've done it, you know.
It must have been awful for him.
Did you follow him on Instagram at that point? Because what he was doing was posting all his videos about, like, this is day 65 of me, you know, in this, I'm doing this. And he just showed he really wanted to come back. And I think he did at that point, when he was starting to get, like, goals against United, performances against City and these sorts of teams. I remember we played Arsenal, it was 0-0, but he was man of the match by a mile. And I think if the Hughes hadn't have taken him out the side and try and build this team around Mbula, which was the most awful thing we've probably ever done in our history in recent transfers, I think he would have he was already back to his best at that point, in my opinion, but I think he would have continued that sort of rise, whereas I think he was starting to sort of lose confidence. He wasn't in the team. Like, I mean, when he went on loan to Mainz, he was our top goal scorer. If that doesn't say anything, like, about how good he was still then I don't know what will. So I think he just lost a bit of confidence. Then relegation year, we like either got unlucky with like mismanagement, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think there's reason to say that. Like, he had a series of unfortunate events, I think someone would say. You're right, from that injury. You mentioned again, anybody that's had a serious injury would know that you do lose a little bit of confidence in your... You don't dive into stuff as you would. I don't think he'd have scored the same goal that he did at Spurs. I think after his injury, just because you're that little bit more tentative, like you don't want the same to happen again, rightly so. Your body's not quite the same and your mind isn't either. I think he was still able to have an effect on games. I don't think he was ever worse post his injury. But then you're right. So he lost a little bit of confidence in his driving force, I think, once he'd had that injury. Still was very good at Stoke, like...
Stoke alone.
Well, that's it. Like, we almost became a different club at that time, brushing away Man City, United, Everton, these... Well, I mean, I say brushed away Everton, but, like, Man City especially, I think. Anyone who's not seen the highlights of Stoke City versus Manchester City in...
Yeah, it's
late
the best
2016.
Performance.
Go,
it's the
go.
Best performance I've ever seen.
Oh, we played with such confidence and flair. And again, Boyan wasn't playing with this driving force like he did against Spurs, but he was just playing this sort of pulling the strings movement.
Yeah.
And just picking apart teams. Him working with Shaqiri and Arnautovic was just fantastic.
That Holy Trinity.
That Holy Trinity was wonderful. And, well, I thought that was here to stay. And then, you're right, it all sort of went sour. He signed a new four-year contract after that. And I thought, oh my God, like, we're going to really kick on here. Like,
yeah.
Because I think there was fair reason to say that he could have left at that point. He was doing very, very well. And I think he could have moved on to a better team.
And then he got dropped.
And then
straight
he got
after
dropped.
That contract.
Yeah, you mentioned Mbula, and we signed Mbula, and Boyan was the casualty in that team. And he was rarely seen again after that.
Weird.
It is weird. I'm assuming somebody wanted Mbula, and so we had to justify paying for him by playing him, and someone had to drop out. Maybe Boyan, because he'd come in for such a small fee, and he'd sign a new contract, so they thought, you know, like, his future's absolutely committed here. It doesn't matter if we don't play him for a few games. We persisted with Mbula, and, well, we know that wasn't the right decision in the end. And that would have affected Boyan's confidence as well. And we've seen these news articles from him and his interviews, and he said that the pressure of having the label of being the next Messi is very difficult, is very tough, and then not always living up to that expectation completely. He was still a fantastic player, but not living up to being Messi, maybe nobody will do that in their lifetime now.
No, and it's interesting because, like, when he was labeled the next Messi, like, Messi's 23 when he's getting labeled that.
Yeah,
like he still's not. Messi's not even in his prime yet, so I don't think you can really label him like the next Messi when Messi hasn't even gone on to win like a consecutive amount of Ballon d'Ors or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. So he'll have the confidence knock from that. He'll have had the confidence knock perhaps from stepping down. I think, you know, from Barcelona to Stoke. Let's be real. Even though he was getting first team football, and that probably would have boosted his confidence. Leaving Barcelona would have been difficult, sure. The injury would have been a knock to his confidence, and then being dropped in place of Mbula, who he'd probably seen off the pitch. Mbula wasn't as hard working as, well, I think that Boyan was. You mentioned how hard he worked to come back from injury, and you just must have seen this player and thought, oh my God, he's getting in ahead of me, and he's not even trying.
I mean, because we've seen stuff written by Shay Given, and I think Shay Given is a reliable source in that, considering like how successful he's been in the game, how successful he's been in goalkeeper, and if he's saying Mbula doesn't try, then quite frankly I believe him. So I don't think Bojan had that luck. I think Hughes wasn't really about the attitude of players. He signed Shaqiri, he thought, brilliant, what a player, and then doesn't look at his injury record. Like, signs these sorts of players that only basing them off highlight reels rather than basing them off like other factors as well.
He got lucky with Boyan, I think, the fact that he was such a good player and a good character as well. I just think he just happened to have dropped on a good one. And I think he happened to have got lucky with Arnautovic as well. He joined at a time where, like, he just had a child, so his personality shift focused as well. We know what Hughes was like, and we can talk about the collapse of Stoke City all day long, I'm sure, but, you know, we're here to talk about Bojan. And as we said, after that, we rarely seen him again. It's such a shame. This player that was phenomenal, I think, like nothing we'd ever seen before. We've talked about the magic of Ricardo Fuller, Mark Steen, Peter Hoekstra.
He has to be up there.
Oh yeah, has to be. In his prime, I think you're right to have him as one of your heroes on a technical ability level. Like, he is as good as anybody in his prime, Bojan. And the fact that then we've rarely seen him again in the 2016-17 season, competition got even harder, we signed Joe Allen. And he didn't really play. Like, he made 5 starts, in the first half of that season, but he scored 3 goals. He was doing his best, and yet he still couldn't get into this team.
Yeah, I know. It's so difficult. He was our top goal scorer, like I said, when he like departed to Mainz. And I think still got a lot to offer. He still got a lot of quality. And even when he went to Mainz, like, the fans took to him straight away, even though he think he only scored 1 goal for Mainz. It was against Bayern Munich, so that's not a bad way to announce yourself. But, you know, he's still loved by Mainz, and he's loved by, like, every club he's been to.
Oh, exactly. As you said, that season he did move on to Mainz on loan because he wanted first-team football, the same way that he came to Stoke from Barcelona. He wanted that first-team football, went to Mainz. 11 appearances, 1 goal, scored against Bayern Munich. Yeah, apparently liked that despite not playing every game. I guess it's another league to adapt to.
Yeah, I think that's brilliant as well, because when he scored that goal, he became the first Spaniard, but I think like the 5th player in the world to score in the top 4 major leagues in the world. So that's a stat that not many people can achieve, is it?
As we've seen, no. Like you said, the first Spanish and the 5th ever player to have done that. We know he's a little bit of a journeyman because of his loan spells, but think of the different styles of football you've got to be able to accommodate to have an impact in these leagues.
Yeah.
I think he's more versatile than we give him credit for. Certainly some fans give him credit for. He then went on loan to Alavés the next season because, again, he couldn't break into the team. Made a couple of starts at the very start of the season, but very quickly went on loan. 15 appearances, 1 goal. Stoke got relegated that season.
Yeah.
Whoops. Maybe... Had Bojan be there, would we be up? I mean, again, we could have that debate. Yeah, go on. Would we have stayed up if Bojan was there?
I don't know. It's hard to think. It's not. Bojan's a fantastic player, and he was one of the good like apples in the side. But like, we just had too many of bad apples in that side that even someone like class as Bojan probably wouldn't have like got them out of it. I don't think. Like, you look at that team. It's Hesse, Berahino, these Mbula. Yeah, and. I don't think even if he had stayed, we would have got out of that pickle. Like, he's magic, and don't get me wrong. And I think that game against Everton, he was brilliant. But even so, like, it's not like a one-man team. It's everyone in that team. And quite funny, the majority of them were, idiots.
Yes, exactly right. But then we went down to the Championship, and Gary Rowett, he gave Bojan a chance in a new league.
Yeah.
Made quite a few appearances for Stoke. And, of course, scored a goal, which, I mean... He loved that. The fans loved that. Everybody loved that. It was amazing. It was just lovely to see him back.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's just the same again with, like, you mentioned Rowett. It's the same again with, like, he's sort of been mismanaged a little bit because Rowett's a massively defensive manager. I said to my dad at the start of the season, look, even if we go back to two Pulis football under Rowett and we go up, like, I wouldn't mind. But the fact is we weren't getting results. And when Bojan came on, every game I seen Bojan come on in the Championship, he was the most creative player and our best spark. Then he'd just get dropped again.
Yeah. Well,
I don't get it.
No, I don't get it either. Like, we could see how good he was. Every time he came on, he would link that sort of midfield attack that we'd see definitely under Rowett. The gap was just increasing every single game. And that's why, you know, we did all right under Rowett, but we could see what the problems were with his style of play. Bojan fixed that, but he just didn't want to implement that. I mentioned the Rotherham game. Of course, around that sort of same time, you had your, what I like to call in this podcast, the moment.
Yes.
This is where your Stoke City hero stands out for you. And for you, it's not something that happened on the pitch. It's something that happened off the pitch, right?
Yes, definitely. Well, I mentioned Bojan, like, before. I mean, Bojan's a lovely guy. Like, he talks to, like, his fans and everything. So, like, I was one of them. I think he was on loan at Mainz at the time, and I was sent, like, a message. He's sort of put footballers post these things about who they're playing in the next game. So I just said, like, miss you at Stoke, mate. Good luck to, like, the next. Good luck for your game. And then he just went, like, thanks, mate. Thumbs up. And I'm just like, nice one. That's not bad. Yeah. Yes. It was interesting. He spoke about, like, his sort of mental health and everything. And I had, like, problems at the same time with that. And I think him actually speaking about that was actually a key factor in me speaking about that. And I told him that, and he was like, wow, like, really appreciate that. And ended up, so he knew sort of who I was. And I met him, this is the first time I ever met him, it was West Brom last year. And we lost 2-1, but, like, I went with my mates, we went in the home end, so I was in the home end. And Bojan's come out from the dugout, and he's just sitting in the dugout, and I've just gone to my mate, oh my God. Look who it is. And I've gone over to him, completely starstruck. And I was going to say, like, oh, do you know me? Like, I've been messaging you. But I was so nervous at the time. I was like, no, doesn't matter. So I just got a picture with him, sent him that, and he was like, oh, thanks, mate. Didn't know that was you, but next time I see you, I'll give you my shirt. I was unbelievable. Told all my mates at school, they couldn't believe it. Showed them from the text, and it was just like, yeah, do you want to meet outside the club shop? And he's like, yep, sure. And we played Blackburn at home. It was sort of September. We lost 3-2. It was the game, if anyone doesn't remember, it's the game where Stoke nearly scored like three goals within a minute. That was quite a good match in that respect. Berry Heena missed a penalty in the last minute. So,
God damn it.
Yeah, that would have made it even better. Yeah, he came out the dressing room, and I thought, like, oh, Elliot, don't get your hopes up, because, like, he could maybe forget about the shirt, or he could sort of like have to go back and get it in. But no, just has his shirt right in his hand, recognised me straight away, pointing at me, and said, like, you? And I was like, yeah, it's me. And he gave me this shirt, and he's like, enjoy it. And he signed it and everything. And
it's just brilliant, isn't it? Because, like, we said before, like, for you, he was the first footballer to make you realise that footballers are people too.
Yeah.
And that just proves it, surely. Like,
yeah.
Brilliant. I don't know how many players seen that happen with, maybe a lot more back in the day, but definitely these current players. And I remind you, he was keeping Ibrahimovic and Henry as for Barcelona team, and yet you were speaking to him on Instagram, and he's good enough to remember to give you his shirt, which must have meant you must have been in the back of his mind throughout the game, possibly. Like,
ooh, I don't know about that one. I think yeah, that's just a class thing to do, because surely, like, you've got so many people like wanting your shirt, and you're the one to get it. It just make you feel like very proud and sort of like feel a bit special in a way, don't you?
Well, that's it. And of course, he might not have done that specifically because it was you, don't get me wrong. Like, you may have sort of sympathised with him on his mental health front, and that's why maybe he taking to you so well.
Mm.
It's more than that. He probably would have done that for anybody that he had a bit of a connection with. And
yeah,
again, it just proves that he's human and a nice bloke, and it was why so many fans and so many players spoke highly of him. And
yeah.
Yes, we know he was sort of kicked aside by a load of managers, and that was probably for more of a tactical reason than a personal reason, but I think that's why Stoke fans warmed to him more than a lot of other players. He was a great player, a fantastic player for Stoke in his prime, but he was more than that. Like, game of Guess Who we had with Mark Meunier over Christmas, was that the first year he signed? I think so, yeah. And so. He did the bake-off, and I remember him, Hossler and Munieza, were they all dressing up for someone's
birthday?
The
three amigos,
yeah. Yeah. Oh, he's a nice lad, and I think that goes a long way in football sometimes.
I mean, even at his current club, the Montreal Impact, I think the fans are taken to him there. He is, like, their biggest attraction in terms of, like, a player, but even their fans are taken to him, and you can see why, because of the guy he is and where he's been at and how he conducts himself on and off the pitch.
Exactly, like a proper professional, but not a professional as in robotic, a professional as in, like, he knows what he's got to do to make fans like him at the end of the day and make players like him. And of course, once your fans and your players like you, that helps you to build the confidence on the pitch as well, surely.
Yeah.
These players, these managers that are robots on the pitch and don't take the fans into account, we've seen plenty of them come through Stoke over the years who just don't consider that.
Yeah.
And it's their detriment, really, because if you're a fan's favourite, well, look what happened to Gary Rowett, you know. The fans were singing Bojan's name.
Yeah.
One game, I think it was against Bolton.
Yeah, he got left out.
And the pre-match interview after that, this was raised to him. I think it was Nigel Johnson that said, you know, the fans were singing Bojan's name after the game. Why aren't you playing him? And Rowett kicked off, and since then...
It's something about Rory Delap, didn't he? He said, like, oh, Rory Delap's a legend, and he's on the touchline. Why aren't you singing his name or something?
That's it. That's the quote. Yeah, absolutely right, actually. And yeah, since then, Rowett got hounded out by the fans. It just shows the power a player can have, but only if you do it in a right way. Bojan wouldn't have sort of had that player power had he not engaged with the fans.
Yeah, quite right. And even now, I think, I still talk to him, like, a little bit now, like, on Instagram, and he still sends messages, and he's still a nice guy. One thing I said was, cause I want to be a sports journalist when I'm older. And then I said to him, like, as in, have you got any advice for me? Like, you being a player, what do you like in a sports journalist? And he just said, because he's doing like columns for something in Spain, and he said like, oh, I'm sort of early like in this like sort of chapter in my life, so I'll let you know like about my writing and stuff. But the most important thing for a player is like with a journalist, like treat them with respect. And I thought, yeah, not a bad quote that, because like not many people have been telling me that, and now like someone's told me that from someone who's experienced that firsthand, it does go a long way.
Well, it will do, because things through journalism, I'm sure, is that personal connection. We know what can happen if you engage with somebody in a positive way. For you and Bojan, it was getting a signed shirt off him and being able to talk to him on a regular basis. And surely for some people, some football players, I know that some won't give interviews to certain broadcasters or certain journalists because they know their trouble. So yes, of course, you, especially for these players that are good at heart as well, will have loads of people asking them questions. If you can be that different journalist that can show a bit of a personal touch to him, then yeah, he's going to sit up and take notice, isn't he?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we've seen loads of people who don't want to be interviewed because of what the journalists they are. Boris Johnson and Andrew Neil.
These ones, but, politics alert.
Politics alert. I've said the P word, sorry. Anyway, I think he's just such a nice lad, and he's so warm with the fans. I think even did you see yesterday? If people saw Bojan's story and like what he posted about Stoke, that's actually me with the shirt. Because somebody asked me who's your favourite Stoke player, I put at Bo Kirkic, and he's put it on his story, and he's like, "Thanks, mate." So just show like the connection he has with the fans, because like that thing will last him probably 24 hours on his story. Yeah. Whereas for me, it like. Are going to remember that, and I'm going to tell my kids that. Like, I was on Bojan's story. Do you know that?
Might not work the other way around. If you told your grandparents, they'd be like, "What's a story? Like, I don't understand. What's the significance of that?"
Has he wrote a book?
I guess it's the equivalent, isn't it? It's the same of having a book, reading it for a day, and then tearing it up and throwing it in the bin.
Maybe,
but it's up there, and that's what matters. It's in the head, and you'll remember it. And these little things that football players do mean a lot to fans, whether it's giving signed shirts away, putting them on your story, or doing these wonderful things on the pitch as well. He gave us memories, like we talk about that Rochdale goal and the Spurs goal and Stoke alone. There's reason to say, with his stats at Stoke, there's been better players, but there's something about him, it's something that the numbers don't generate. He sort of breaks that rule. He's just special.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's one I didn't mention. He actually said happy birthday to me as well when it was my birthday, which was like just amazing.
Oh, man, brilliant.
So that pretty much made my day, pretty much. Like, not even getting like a present, not even getting the presents, not even like meeting my mates to get like them getting me stuff. Like, Bojan said happy birthday to me. Like, I can't really ask for much more than that, can I?
Oh man, happy birthday. Bloody hell. Can you imagine?
It's a bit late now, but...
Oh dear. Anyway, right, so I think we're coming to a close for this. So one of the final things I'm going to ask you to do for this is I'm going to give you a minute to sum Bojan up for me, on and off the pitch. So, yeah, go for it.
So on the pitch, I think there's only one real word you can describe for him, and that's magic. The moments he produced for us, like the goals against Rochdale, the goal against Tottenham, so many moments of magic you can pick out. There's a nutmeg he did against Watford as well. I think it's actually used in a GIF on WhatsApp. Like, that nutmeg is brilliant. So magic is the first word I'll describe as Bojan on the pitch. Off the pitch, just can't really describe him, just like a lovely guy, just somebody who'll take time out, his own time out, to speak to fans, and which is brilliant because like fans are the one paying to watch him play, so he may as well give something back. And I'll go a bit off topic, but you remember Lewis, who was on your podcast, saying like it was the same game. It was the same game he went to, the Blackburn one, and he said, "Oh yeah, the players don't have that touch with the fans." Whereas after the game, I had like a touch with a player, so
yeah,
there was something there, but like it was only really from one player.
A glimmer of hope. I guess that's a good way of describing him, wasn't he? Like, he was that glimmer of hope. Like, yes, we're going to see something really, really strong here. And off the pitch, yes. In a time where it was really difficult for us, we mentioned that, you're right, where a lot of players, definitely in that championship season, were like, we felt so detached from players. He was that link. He kept us going. It was someone to be excited about.
Because Stoke's a working class area, so I think having a player like that just like take time out for you is probably making you feel special.
He knows what to do to bring the roots back to football and then off the pitch. I think as sort of time's gone by, we've lost what football's about, and I guess in a way, in his own way, he's helped to bring that back.
Yeah, definitely. I think, yeah, I'll basically say this, that the manager that we've had, I think that glimmer of hope you described him as, I think we had that glimmer of hope even like when he came back, because we thought he's doing brilliant here, like we want it to work for him, like we always had that hope that like it's going to work for him at some stage, and then he got sold eventually, but which is a shame because like all the fans were saying like brilliant, like you've been great for us and everything. It's not like he went about it in the wrong way, like someone maybe an Arnautovic did, for instance. He went about it in the right way, thanking the fans, saying like, I've really enjoyed my time here, I'll keep supporting Stoke because you've been great to me. So that sort of connection there, like I think it's just a shame that he wasn't there, that Michael O'Neill's been there, because I think Michael O'Neill would have got that sort of thing out of him, using his creativity to his advantage, because he does, like, I mean, Jones used to like sort of play players out of position in a way. I think Bojan got played in centre mid once, and I think Bojan's good, but he's creative, but I think he's better in an attacking role rather than going up and down box to box midfielder. So it's shame. It's just a shame that Michael O'Neill wasn't there in time, because I think we would have got to see a lot more of Bojan, like at his best.
You never know. He might have got back to his best, and Stoke might have got back to their best as well. Fortunately, I think we have got a person that can fill his shoes in Nick Powell. Hopefully he can do that.
Yeah, different players, but yeah.
Well, yes, exactly.
They've both got flair, I will say that. They've both got a lot of flair.
Oh, a lot of flair and a lot of audacity. But you're right, very different players. I guess only time will tell. We can leave that as a bit of a timestamp, really. We'll be listening back to this in a year or two's time, maybe, and thinking, was Nick Powell the player? Did he bring that same magic that Bojan did? I guess we'll see, eh?
Yeah.
Okay, so one last question then, mate, if you don't mind. Considering all of that you just spoke about in the last few minutes, one word to describe Bojan.
I'll use the Spanish term, mágico, magic.
Mágico.
I think that's it, but someone will correct me if I'm wrong.
I'm going to have to Google that one.
Sounds like I said Mexico, Mexico.
Mexico. He definitely wasn't there.
But magic.
Absolutely magic. That's a great way of describing him. And with that, that's closed the Bojan edition of Stoke City Heroes. Firstly, thank you, Elliot, for coming on and proving that you can talk about Bojan for just under an hour.
could have been more.
It could have been more, possibly should have been more. I'm sure loads of people would be jealous that you've nicked Bojan. I'm sure he's a lot of people's favourite players for all the reasons that we've described. But, you know, you had a bit of a personal touch with them as well.
Yeah.
And I think you've done him justice as well. So well done, mate.
Thank you.
And then just a reminder as well that if you think you can make a podcast on your Stoke City Hero, then prove it and head to the wowwowwowpals.com and click Stoke City Heroes. In case you don't know, you can also come and tell your whole Stoke City story on the wowwowwowpals by heading on the website and clicking create a file. If you enjoy this tribute and you want to hear more, subscribe on your favourite podcast platform, go back and listen to our previous content, but most importantly, tell your friends about the show. Come and find us on social media at the wowwowwowpals or send an email to the wowwowwowpals@mail.com. That just seems to say one more time. Thank you, Elliot.
Thank you very much. Anytime.
Thank you very much for listening. Until the next one. But don't forget, it could be your Stoke City Hero next. There's any support to you. Pantomime.